Geopolitical Horizons, the podcast from thegeopolitics.com. There's been a lot of chatter recently about the demise of the dollar, especially since the US placed unprecedented sanctions on Russia. Many US commentators, they're talking about the end of the dollar's dominance as a number of US allies trade with China in currencies that aren't the dollar. It seems not a day goes by without China's currency, the yuan, being in the news. After the recent meeting in South Africa by members of the BRICS organization, many people believe that this organization will replace Western institutions such as the G7 and the IMF. So today we want to look at the global financial order and assess if its days are numbered. We have Geopolity founder Adnan Khan here to unravel this for us. How are you keeping, Adnan?
I'm good, Yusuf. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm just quite bad with hay fever at the moment. I think it's been a while since we've caught up.
It has been. A lot's been happening.
Definitely. So I think the first question is, Adnan, can you outline the current financial order for us? So we grasp where we're actually at this moment in time, and so we can understand if it's under threat.
Okay, Yusuf. So the current financial order was established in the dying days of World War II. And you find that the US was the one that gathered most of the world together at Bretton Woods on the American continent. And what America did was it established the monetary financial economic order. So it established the International Monetary Fund to deal with global financial flows. It established the World Bank to deal with development and global poverty. What the US also did was it made the dollar the global currency to trade with. So obviously over time, the dollar has become the currency. Everything's priced in, so whether it's global commodities, oil, things like that. So what you tend to find, Yusuf, is as the decades have gone by, really the global financial order is an order where America's at the center. America's underwritten it. America maintains it. And America's domestic currency is the currency everything's priced in. So this is really the financial order. So it's been in place, 70 years now. And obviously, what we're finding now, calls are really growing against this particular order.
A short amount of time. With over 200 nations in the world, many of them having their own currency, how has the US been able to kind of maintain the dominance of the dollar?
So the US has been able to do this because with its economic strength, it's also had military strength. So America has used its dominant position in the world to keep the dollar as the currency for the world. So you find America 700 military bases around the world. You find America has a presence on every continent around the world. The only challenge to this really was, interestingly, was America's own doing. In the 70s, the Vietnam War was dragging on, and as a result, America was printing more and more dollars to fund it. And it became very clear to everyone that there's way more dollars available in the world than there is gold. So America got worried that people might want to withdraw the gold that America was holding at Fort Knox. So what America did was, I think in 1973, it temporarily suspended conversion of gold into dollars, which obviously became permanent in the end. So this was probably the biggest threat to America's dollar dominance. And the way America overcome this is it cut a deal with Saudi Arabia. It created what's known as the petrodollar, where it promised Saudi royal family to back them, to provide them with security. And in return, Saudi would charge the oil exports. They'll be only charge it in dollars. So what that meant was, is if this didn't happen, what was the need for any country in the world to hold dollars? But now that oil is priced in dollars and the largest exporter in the world was charging oil in dollars, now that became an additional need for the world to have dollar reserves. So that's really how America's been able to maintain it. And you're right, there's 200 countries in the world, they all have their own currencies. You know, why do they need another country's currency in order for them to trade? But because America has ensured through its economic strength and military strength that its currency should be the most dominant currency, that's how it's actually maintained it. So it's not America's currency is the most important currency because America has the best economy, it has the lowest debt, it has the most economic growth. It's actually been its military strength and its political imposition that's why the American dollar is the most dominant currency in the world.
Adnan, with the dollar, with America using the petrodollar to cement its dominance, why has that changed now? Because obviously people still need to buy their oil in dollars. So I'm trying to understand, what are the challenges the dollar's facing?
Ultimate challenge the dollar's facing now is there are a number of countries who feel America is weaponizing the dollar. And because of this, they feel the world needs to move away from the dollar and we need an alternative global currency. So you see with the Russian invasion of Ukraine last year, the most sanctioned country in history now is Russia. So Russia has about $650 billion cash reserves. Much of this is held abroad, and they've been cut off from this completely. Because it's held in dollars, America's made it illegal for anyone to trade with Russia in dollars. So that is, you know, weaponizing the dollar. Up until now, the understanding was that the dollar is free and it's available for everyone to use, and America wouldn't take advantage of it. That's obviously happened. So countries like China are also worried that because they trade with America a lot and they have large dollar reserves, America could, at the flick of a click of a mouse, literally freeze those dollar reserves. So that's really why now the challenge has grown. I mean, it's really been two, three decades. There's been a lot of talk that we need to move away from the dollar, that it puts America in a significant advantageous position. But for the last at least 10 years, there's a feeling by many countries, primarily China and Russia, that this is actually a weapon using. Really, the only way to defend against this weapon is you reduce your reliance on the dollar. And what China and Russia realize is, if you want to reduce your own reliance, you need to stop other countries trading in the dollar or reduce it as well. So this is actually the primary challenge. You know, the dollar put America in a very unique position. The way America put sanctions on countries like North Korea, Cuba, Iran historically was by banning them access to the dollar. Every time Iran's sanctioned, it can't use the dollar because the dollar is the local currency of America. They can make it illegal for other countries, even though this. So, you know, if China's trading with Iran, you'd think, what's the dollar got to do with that? But the trade is in dollars because Iran doesn't need the Chinese currency because you can only use that in China. And China doesn't need the Iranian currency because you can only use that in Iran. So the one currency that both of them would use would be the dollar, because that's the global currency. But what they're finding is this creates a big, big vulnerability. So this is really the main challenge against the dollar. This call for going away from the dollar, this call where they're trying to undermine the dollar's role in the world, this call to undermine and expose America's exorbitant position. This is really the main challenge against the dollar.
There's been a lot of talk about this for a long time. It's not a recent kind of discussion, but I feel like it's gained momentum over the years. And it seems, from what people are saying, that China's currency, the yuan, could possibly replace the dollar. How likely do you think that is?
Yeah, so China has been marketing this narrative that it's had enough of America's dollar dominance, that the dollar is a bad thing in the world. And it's actually even been marketing that the yuan potentially could be the alternative. However, what you find with China is there's actually a lot of limits with their currency that will stop it from actually becoming the global currency. And these are self-imposed limits. These are not like natural reasons. So China's policy with its currency has been, it has played quite a central role in China's economic development. And what China does is, because the economic model is based upon manufacturing and then exporting, China needed its exports to be the cheapest than any other place in the world. So the way China achieved this, it purposely and artificially kept the exchange rate very, very low. And that's what made its products really, really cheap. And that's how it became the industrial monster that it is today. And so if China wants its currency to be the global currency, then China needs to print so much of its currency that the whole world can use it. In fact, the dollar today, most of it is not used in America, it's actually used abroad. Now, that would mean the value of its currency would go up and its exports would become really, really expensive. As a result, China actually has capital controls. China actually had lower capital controls on its currency. In 2009, 2010, China relaxed capital controls and so much money went out of the country that they brought back their restrictions. So I actually feel, Yusuf, China wants the credit for challenging the dollar, but it actually practically isn't doing anything about it. So that's why I don't think the Chinese currency will replace the dollar.
I don't think China actually wants to do that. And if China did want to do it one day, it would actually have to change its economic model. Because the currency being very low value, the exchange rate, is actually key to its economic model. So, you know, China gets both, you know, it gets the best part of both worlds. It doesn't have to physically do anything to challenge the dollar. On the other hand, it's still getting the credit for challenging the dollar.
What about then the EU one? Can you explain what that is exactly and why people feel that it's actually this that's going to challenge the dollar?
Right, so the EU one, it's not just a digital version. It's actually a bit more than that. If you look at oil, you've got the physical trading of oil, but most oil contracts are not actually contracts to physically buy a tanker of oil or sell a tanker of oil. Most contracts are on the futures market where you've got contracts where people are betting on the price of oil. So some companies use this for hedging. So one of the things that makes the dollar so dominant is even this market, which is huge, it's dominated by the dollar. So China introduced the EUR as a futures contract. It's a contract where you can agree to buy or sell oil at a future date, and you can price it in China's currency, the yuan. So again, this gave China a lot of credit, because if you're going to challenge the dollar in the oil market, one of the reasons why the dollar is the most dominant currency is because all oil, whether it's futures contracts or not, is done in that. So China launched this, I think, 2016. And, you know, a lot of people were talking about this as a game changer. However, China actually admitted in January this year that the take up in EUR contracts has actually been quite disappointing. It's actually been way low, much lower than they actually thought. And that's probably because China's currency is only about 2% of world daily transactions. So few people trade in the yuan. Why would you need to have futures contracts in the yuan? And China does obviously import lots of oil, but China already has lots of futures contracts in the dollar. So again, you know, there was a lot of talk about this being a game changer, but in reality, it hasn't. And the fact that the Chinese, the National Bank, the Central Bank of China, admitted that the take-up has been disappointing, that shows us that really, you know, it's not the game changer it was made out to be.
Okay, let's talk about the BRICS then. The BRICS, they had their recent meeting. They're considered like an alternative bloc to the current world order, a block of countries that can pull out with a new currency. How much truth is there in this, or are we just fantasizing?
The BRICS organization, it first emerged as a term in the early 2000s when a Goldman Sachs analyst, he came out with the term. So it was called BRIC initially, so Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And what he was saying is these are the developing nations and potential future economic powers. So I think by the mid-2000s, South Africa was added to it, so it became BRICS. Now, what's happened? So initially, the countries that are the BRICS countries, they didn't come up with the term. It was actually, you know, investment banker who came up with the term. So eventually, by the mid to late 2000s, the leaders of these countries started getting together. They started talking about how they're the future of the world. And what they concluded was is that the economic structure of the world, the monetary structure, the financial structure, none of it is driven by them. All of it is driven by America and the G7, because America established the liberal order after World War II. So what they've really been doing for the last decade or so is they've been criticizing the Western-led order. They've been talking about wanting to move away from the dollar. They established a couple of banks and funds which were to be parallel to the World Bank and to the IMF. But Yusuf, if we look closely at BRICS, there's a couple of problems. Firstly, what you find is the banks and the fund that's set up, they have only lent out very small amounts of money. So really, they're not actually in the same league as the IMF and the World Bank. What we also find is actually only until recently has trade increased between the BRICS nations themselves. Up until recently, most of their trade was actually with other countries. So what you find, for example, is all of them have America as a key trade partner, although more recently there's been a bit more trade from amongst them. The other thing is you find China and India, who are BRICS nations, are actually at war with each other. They're actually at war in the Himalayas. So again, I feel, Yusuf, this organization exists more on paper. It gains a lot of credibility. It gains a lot of credibility in challenging America. But in reality and in practice, it's not actually in the same league. So the comparison you generally get is they are the Eastern
G7. But if you calculate the G7 economies, you know, all of them are trillion-dollar economies. You find with the BRICS economy, they're all very different. They don't even complement each other as well. So I think a lot more has to happen for them to become challengers to the Western-led order. But again, they are getting the credibility of challenging America without physically having to do anything.
I think there's another possibility of a challenge against American dollar. It is things like e-currencies. So there's a lot of talk of central bank digital currencies. Do these kind of pose as a threat to the US dollar?
Some have proposed cryptocurrencies, which are different to central bank digital currencies, although they're similar. So what you've got is obviously cash technically is digital at the moment, even though we do have physical cash as well. What cryptocurrencies was first was a technology where you decentralize the money system. So at the moment, the money creation process starts with banks. They create money through loans. So they dominate the money creation process. So that makes central banks and the banking industry very, very influential in how the economy works. So what someone did was they come up with this idea of a cryptocurrency where you have a digital currency and you use technology where it's decentralized. So no one institution controls money supply. Actually, the technology is dispersed over many, many people. So no one person dominates it. So this became very, very popular because it challenged the banking system, which is quite central to modern capitalism as we have it. Now, in response, what the mainstream banks come up with is central bank digital currencies, which is the same technology, but again, the banking system is at the center of it. So what they're advocating now, which has really taken off in the last 3 years, is we do away with cash completely, and they create an algorithm, which is money. So what that also means is every penny you spend can be monitored because it's an algorithm. So using your phone, you buy and sell. So you're not going to have any physical cash at all. And that's why you have this discussion about cashless society. So this really, central bank digital currency is more about the type of, so not necessarily the actual currency, but it's how currency should work and who should control that process. This is more a battle between centralization and decentralization. So even if we do get central bank digital currencies, it'll be the central bank that dominates it. This will have a geopolitical impact as well, but we'll have to wait and see about that. But at the moment, money is generally controlled and run by central banks and the banking system that we have. So what this is doing is countering the cryptocurrency strategy that some people had, where you decentralize money making process. So this is probably needs a podcast on its own, actually, central bank digital currencies. Obviously, it's getting a lot of bad slack. A lot of people feel there's really a control agenda here, because if you get rid of physical money, then really whoever owns the banking system has a significant say over people's lives. Because if the government want to cut tax, if you need to pay a fine, it can directly be taken from the central bank. It's not something you need to physically pay. So this obviously has ramifications. It has lots of issues. So that's probably a topic in itself, actually, we need to address.
It seems like there are no real challenges to the dollar. Am I reading that right?
So practically, there isn't. However, because there's no alternatives. However, the challenges of the dollar remaining the most dominant currency, they are growing. And those are all of America's own doing. So you find America's weaponizing of the dollar, America's debt levels, the credibility of America repaying its debt. These are all challenges to the dollar. However, there isn't really an alternative at the moment. The only thing I'll throw in is Russia and China have been buying up a lot of gold. So it is a possibility that they make gold and silver the standard currency as a replacement. Now, that would be interesting because gold and silver had much more credibility. And really, up until at least World War II, gold and silver was, it's been currency, it's been money for most of human history. That would be quite an interesting development. But I think the important point in this conversation also is, Yusuf, that China gets a lot of credibility, Russia gets a lot of credibility, but practically, there are a lot of limitations. Practically, they're actually quite limited in what they can do. And I think that's actually quite important to understand.
Thank you for your time today, Adnan. You can also learn more on this issue and many other issues if you access our website, where you'll find comprehensive insights. I'm Yusuf. Thank you for listening.